Greetings and welcome to St. Dominic's Weekly. This is Father Michael. We continue Meet the Novices. This week we have Brother Xavier Marie tells a fascinating story about how he came to the United States. In fact, came to the southern United States in Texas, how he is a convert to the faith, and that story, that emerging story, his days at UC Berkeley and his connection with the Dominicans there, and then a little bit about some fun facts about him that I didn't know myself. So whether you're on the go or taking it slow, many, many blessings as you enjoy today's show. Greetings and welcome to St. Dominic's Weekly. Father Michael, today we continue our interviews with our novice brethren, soon to be professed brethren, as each one of them has been approved for vows for 2 years, right?
Yes.
Yeah, 2 years. And I have with me today Brother Xavier Marie. So welcome, Brother Xavier Marie.
Thank you.
Now, right off the bat, do brothers tend to give nicknames to each other, or does everyone call you Brother Xavier Marie?
I was called Hav.
Hav?
My brothers.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
Javi. Yes, it's a Javi. Yeah, Javi here. So right off the bat, your given name is not Javier.
Correct.
It's a religious name that you took.
Yes.
So let me get right to it. Why a Jesuit? What are you thinking? You know you joined a Dominican order.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. It's kind of problematic.
Okay.
So first we make fun of each other.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think that's why. No.
You're just trying to tempt Father Anthony to say no or to kind of
yes.
throw down. It's totally your personality to kind of be in your face, right?
No.
No, I'm teasing you now. So yes. No. So why? Well, yeah. Why? So Francis Xavier, obviously a Jesuit missionary,
correct.
But what's your connection with him in terms of patronage?
Correct. So 2 summers ago, I was reading this book called Setal of Fire, and it's a novel by Louis Daval, and he wrote about the story of Francis Xavier. And he has this, I just found it related to him because our stories are kind of similar. He has this conversion in college when he was studying with Ignatius, and he was sent to China. As a missionary, he was first sent to India and then to Japan, and then he was about to go into China, but he died looking across kind of the coast of China, never reached it. So he has this dream of preaching the gospel to this people he never met, right? And he dreamed about it. Perhaps when he's gazing on into the dark night, he saw the people as if there are the stars in the sky or something, but he never reached it. But I am here, and I heard of his story, and I was so moved because 400, 500 years ago, he never thought about dream of a person from China, the place he never reached, will come here and take his name, just as I never thought that I would even become a Catholic maybe 20 years ago. 10 years ago, sorry. 20 years ago, I was a baby. I never thought about that I would become a Catholic.
Yeah.
Maybe when I was 10 or when I step on this soil, God do amazing things. You realize dreams I would never dream of.
Nice. So that the patronage of Francis Xavier does connect with, obviously, you're not from the United States. You're from China, as you implied. Whereabouts in China?
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
Where are you from originally? Where were you born?
Beijing.
Okay, Beijing. From Beijing. And your parents are not Christian, right?
They're not.
So how is it that a non-Christian boy from Beijing ends up being a Dominican friar in the Western Dominican province? Maybe give us a little bit of that, kind of a little outline and sketch of that.
Yeah, it's a long and dramatic story.
Okay,
not
let's
so
do
dramatic,
it.
Not so dramatic. In my eyes. But so when I was 15, my mother signed me up for this random English exam. And I was like, why am I taking an exam? At the end of the day, I realized, it's a exam for an exchange student program.
Oh, okay. What year was this, like, equivalent of high school or?
High school.
High school,
yes. Okay. I was in high school in China at the time.
Okay.
And so I said, I'll take it. But fun fact, I fell asleep during the exam.
Okay.
And I passed it.
Wow. How is that possible? Was it a written exam?
It was a written exam.
And you fell asleep during...
During a written exam. There's a face-to-face. There's a vocal exam as
okay.
well.
Okay.
But I think I did well in that one. Maybe that's why.
Okay.
So, yeah, I fell asleep while my friends didn't make it.
Oh.
Feel so bad for them.
Wow.
But yeah.
You're sharp enough to pass. And so then did you come in exchange then? Did you?
I did.
The program? Okay. Well, where did you come in the United States?
I went to Laredo, Texas.
Oh, cowboy.
Yeah.
Cowboy
yeah.
time. All right.
Or is it this border town with Mexico? And
do you know the song, The Streets of Laredo?
No.
Okay, never mind.
No. I heard people mention it to me.
Really? Okay. Yes. It's kind of an old-timey Western kind of tune. The Streets of Laredo. Anyway, go for it. So you came to the Streets of Laredo.
Yes. So I came on the Streets of Laredo.
Yeah.
I was sent to a public school first. So during this time, I met with two families. And one of the family, he is a single man. He's my godfather. Later on, become my godfather.
Okay.
So towards the end of the program, he invited me to stay there for the next 4 years to finish high school.
Mm.
And
your parents were okay with it, just broadening kind of horizons and things like that. That was the intent.
Well, the program, that's what they project with the program. That's okay. kind of their goal.
Sure.
So I can practice my English. But they never would have seen me stay there for the next 4 years.
Okay, so they were surprised by the fact that
they were very surprised.
Okay.
My mother, especially, she didn't tell me until 4 years later when I graduated from high school that she didn't really want me to stay.
Really? But she didn't express that before.
They left the choice to me. They let me make the decision.
Wow, as a high schooler. Okay.
Yeah.
I think most parents of high schoolers abroad would say like, hey, you get a year, but you're coming back. But what would be, obviously you've liked Laredo enough to stay. What was it about that situation that was compelling or engaging?
Yeah, I think there's a freedom that... people think about freedom, think of political freedom because of China or something. But
sure.
for me, is I guess the freedom to study things I want to study, do things that I want to do. For example, it's funny. I realized I can play more basketball at the time too.
Okay.
And I really wanted to play basketball.
Oh, really? Okay. Very good. We still haven't got out on the court. I've heard these legendary, you know, point guard skills.
Yeah. COVID happened.
It shut down the court. It shut down the courts. All right. Well, we can you know, kind of romanticize the epic battle that would have been.
Yeah. One day we will.
One day.
Where you post me up.
I post you up. Yeah.
It's where I shoot threes and where you.
There you go. Exactly. Yes. We will have different strains for sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, so kind of a sense of freedom, especially at that time of age when I think asserting kind of finding yourself in terms of independence, your own voice, seemed like that was a part of it. But then you met someone who was Christian, or at least the person, one of the people sponsoring you himself was Christian or Catholic specifically?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So he was a Catholic. So he took me to Mass for the first time in my life. And
you had no, like, not just Christian experience, but had you had any sense of like religious spirituality before this?
Not really. I've heard of the name of Jesus.
Okay.
Kind of like a legendary character.
Okay.
I have seen church pass by churches in Beijing, not knowing what it's about. I related to like Buddhist temple type of thing.
Yeah.
So it's just like one other religion.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah.
Okay, but so then he introduced, what did you think of your first Mass? Like, was it strange, weird, inviting, some of everything?
I think it's hard to put into words. I remember exactly what happened, kind of, the image. It was a church run by the Brothers of St. John community.
Okay.
And I remember monks wearing the gray habits, and I remember incense, I remember the band even. And
the band?
The band, kind of the choir.
Oh, the choir. Sorry. Okay, the choir.
So it's more contemporary music during that Mass. And I remember kneeling down and praying. There was no very spectacular sort of
aha, St. Paul aha moment.
Conversion okay, moment. Yeah. I just, yeah, feel relaxed. And
so how long from that kind of first experience of Mass to actually being baptized, what was that progress like or that journey?
That was, so about a year later, oh, about wow a year, maybe several months, maybe, yeah, 14 months.
That's probably a fast track right there.
Yes, fast track.
Right?
Yes.
Because you go right, because at RCIA, you were in RCIA program, I take it.
I was in RCIA,
okay,
yeah.
So you just basically got there, signed up, and went for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And I did not sign up myself.
Oh, who signed you up? Who signed you up?
It was my godfather
okay
who signed me up.
He just says, you're doing this.
Yeah, I think I felt, so once I decided to stay, I was transferred to a Catholic school because okay of, I think, visa, things like that. And I cannot stay in the public school as a international student. So yeah, I started learning about God, in the Catholic school. And then he signed me up for RCIA, in this time during, I think the second year I stayed there.
Okay.
And I was like, what? Well, I have class on Sunday.
Oh no!
but yeah, it was unexpected in the beginning.
Yeah.
But then I want to learn. I want to learn about God. I want to learn about theology.
Yeah.
All this is new to me, and it's interesting.
You kind of have a curious. You're kind of a curious spirit about yourself in terms of wonder. Would you say that's something that you see in yourself as well?
I would say so.
Yeah.
I pick up too many books than I actually need.
Yeah.
yes. So I wanted to learn, and I felt the whole process, although it was, I don't understand the full gravity of becoming the disciple of Jesus Christ at the time still. But a couple of things was obvious to me, that I'm broken.
Yeah.
And that I cannot think of, strangely enough, people think this as a contradictory almost. I can't think of other love expressed in other way than how Christ expressed it on the cross. It does not make sense, but it made complete sense to me at the time that this is the self-sacrificing love that I've been looking for, kind of. And I wouldn't want any other kind of love.
Sure.
And I think that's what's really moving me.
Wow.
And
so that sense of your own fragility on the one hand, or just in terms of humanity at large.
Yes.
And then God's response in that self-sacrifice of his son.
Yes.
And a cross just really fit hand in glove, that sense of both
the
need and, if you will, the redemption or the idea of Christ sharing in that brokenness and therefore transforming it in a way.
Yes.
Wow, that's really good. So, and then you ended up going to college at a fine university, did you not?
Across the bay.
Across the bay, exactly.
Berklee College.
There you go. Exactly.
So I went to Berklee.
At this point, were you thinking priesthood, religious life at all? So you graduated high school and you're now in Berklee.
No.
No, okay.
No, out on my radar.
Out on my radar? So what put it on the radar?
What put it on the radar was kind of a conversion, maybe during college, almost. So during my first year, I was, coming to college, want to experience new thing again.
Of course.
I'm so curious.
Exactly.
About
exactly. That's tough.
Everything that people have been telling me.
Exactly.
Things I've seen in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to experience everything that the world has to offer.
Yep.
And I was ready to just go to Mass on Sunday and that's it. Kind of leave out my Catholic identity behind. Kind of just, yeah, because this is kind of embarrassing when you approach people, oh, I'm a Catholic. That at the time, as a kind of 20, 19-year-old guy and insecure about myself, I think, almost. Being Catholic was definitely not in the forefront. I want to, I think as I've been taught throughout my life, I'm going to study, work hard, and make it in the world and make money and power, get a family kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
Now, so that was there, and I'm sure your parents had a similar expectation for you. What gave that sense of drawing you into religious life? Was there a moment or someone you met or an inspiration behind that?
Yeah, so rather back, God did not let me just fall away.
Like coast into.
So I think two, 3 weeks into my Berkeley year, the first freshman year, I was approached by this Protestant graduate of Berkeley.
Okay.
He just sit next to me in the dining hall.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
And then approached me, and then
the Free Speech Cafe.
No, that one.
Okay.
Have you been there?
Oh, of course. I'm Go Bears. I took a number of classes.
That's right.
At Berkeley.
That's right.
Exactly. So I've many an hour in the Free Speech Cafe and Bold Hall and so forth.
Yes. So fun fact, I was in Clark Kerr.
Yeah.
One of the dormitory, close to the Newman Center, and so he approached me, and then he invited me to play basketball.
Oh, okay.
And then that got me.
Nice.
And I played basketball, and then he did the kind of the normal subsequent move, right? Invited you for a Bible study.
Oh, nice.
And free food.
Basketball, Bible study, and food. I love it.
And then kind of dropped me in, and I realized, and how do I say? And I met really nice people there, and the Bible study was informative. It was not radical at all.
Yeah.
I felt intellectually engaged.
Yeah.
And the food was good. So it continued to go on. And I really was drawn into them, kind of. So I would go to Mass.
Yeah.
But then I would go to their
evangelical Bible study.
Both.
I
did both sort of during that whole year.
Yeah.
During this time, I realized, there's more things I need to learn. And these people are so happy. And I see there's something there that's right.
Yeah.
That I did not see before, the people that I met. So there's that, I think, conversion. But then as I start to learn more and realize there's a significant difference between their belief and ours. We believe in the same God, but...
Well, yeah, so we're both Christians in every way, but in terms of following Christ, perhaps not the fullness of tradition,
exactly.
Sacramental life, and so
yeah,
forth.
There's... So how they understand the sacraments is very different, and how they see Mary was very different. And I started looking into the differences. At the time, two other friends from that ministry are also Catholic. We realized that fact.
So there are three Catholics in the Protestant Bible study?
Evangelical. Okay. I did not know that in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
And both of them become very good friends of mine. We realized that during Lent, because we don't eat meat on Friday.
The old no meat on Fridays brought you together. It's amazing how those traditions
And so we met up with each other, and then we started doing this apologetic session with each other.
Okay.
So looking into the difference, beginning with Eucharist, apostolic succession, Mary, all these things. And then during this time, I just realized... I can never be a Protestant, and I see that all the force arguments for me to be Catholic, and then I can see no reason for me to not be a Catholic.
Yeah, so it's almost like you have this progression of like conversion to the faith, but then almost deepening by exploring other faiths or having engagement with other Christian groups and having to say for yourself. It reminds me of a cradle Catholic who... You know, like myself, who's you're kind of born into Catholicism, but then at a certain point, especially when you go to college and you kind of meet new people and have maybe a breadth of experience, it's like, oh, there are good people who are Christians and have very similar views about what's the core of what it means to have a relationship with God, but in terms of the traditions and the sacramental life and that connection with the full community of Christ. The fullness is in the Catholic Church, so you have to make a deepening sense of conversion into it again. So it's interesting how even though you're not a cradle Catholic coming in, you still have that progression being invited by your godfather and kind of almost just kind of falling into Catholicism there,
yes,
and then having to make a real choice. you know, in the subsequent years in college, like, oh yeah, really? Because at that point you could have gone either. I mean, it's not like your parent would have come chasing after you or something if you decided to become evangelical. That's interesting. So then friends, and then how did you get from there to the Dominican? was it online? Was it proximity to a certain priory?
It is a little bit of both.
Okay, very good.
Also, another fun fact.
Oh, interesting.
During my last year in college, senior year, my roommate was also discerning with the Dominicans.
Okay,
and we shared the same spiritual director.
Okay,
how
did you get? Was your connection to the Dominicans through him?
Through my friends. I don't recall who was the first one who invited me to visit St. Albert.
Well, they have bragging rights. Whoever introduced you should definitely be on board there.
Yes.
No? Okay. So.
But I know that it's not myself who finally stumbled into St. Albert.
Okay. Okay.
After we came back to the Newman Center, we started to grow in our faith and started leading Bible study. I joined Focus, became a student leader in Focus. And
which is a mission. So just say a word about Focus, just so if people
don't know. Yeah, so it's Fellowship of Catholic University Students.
Okay.
And they are an organization that dedicated themselves to serve basically universities, students on campus. They're missionaries, recent graduates that want to share their faith, and they're trained together and then sent out really 2x2, 3x3, and sent to different university to lead Bible study to grow those faith and student.
Yeah. Catechetical evangelical. It's kind of like the group that you fell into, but you were invited to at the basketball Bible study.
And it kind of, for today's sake,
Focus has that same way of bringing catechesis evangelization from the Catholic perspective to secular university campuses.
Yes.
Mostly, but others as well. Yes. So you're part of Focus. Your friends are familiarized with St. Albert's, our priory in Oakland, not too far from campus there. And so where does it go from there? And you have the same spiritual director, Father Michael?
Father Michael.
Okay.
So at that time, we started to go to Mass daily office there, the evening prayer there, and more often. And I just really enjoy going to liturgy there. And I think my junior year going to senior year, I was looking for a spiritual director, and it just so happened that his spiritual director was a Dominican. So I say, oh, let me borrow your spiritual director.
Let me borrow your spiritual director. I love it.
And then I really grew during that summer.
Yeah.
And that's the summer why did a 33 days consecration to Our Lady.
Oh, nice.
And really grew in my faith. That's the summer also I started to go to daily mass and start to make a holy hour every day and those things.
You hit all the right. So when certainly as someone involved in vocations and vocation work, you kind of hit all the right boxes there in terms of daily mass and sacraments, having a spiritual director, consecrating yourself to Mary, and this particular one is a Louis de Montfort consecration that you did, and then being in a sense in the fullness of kind of a Catholic communal aspect, you hit all the markers for vocation. When someone says, "I want to discern, how do I know if I want to be a priest?" It's like, okay, how are you praying? What are you reading? Do you have a spiritual director? Have you consecrated yourself to Mary? Do you have a robust kind of spiritual and formative life and communal life around you? And there it was.
Yeah, there it was. I realized, I think, when I visited St. Albert for Come and See the coming fall, realized I was living a Dominican life.
Yeah. it wasn't the awesome first talk on Friday night by a certain friar who came over to talk about religious life. That wasn't the epitome of all your desire.
Well,
go ahead, you can lie. Go ahead.
Okay. To be honest, I did not remember the person who gave the first talk. Was it you actually?
Yeah. although you said you had, because at the time we had, and this is a yearly thing of sitting down with novices, you did let me know that you had heard some of those.
Sound of
the podcast of former
exactly.
of others. So in other words, I'm going to go ahead and claim it that previous podcasts are part of the reason why you're here now.
Yes. Yes.
I'll take a four star. Okay, four star review.
Yeah, I heard the podcast that.
Do you remember who? What novices you had heard?
I remember Brother Elias. Okay. Brother Anthony.
Okay.
Remember Brother Matthew. Okay. No, wait, Chrysostom.
Chrysostom. Okay.
Also, I remember Father Anthony.
So, if you want to discern Dominican vocation. Podcast www.stdominicsweekly.org.
Yes. Yeah, okay, highly recommend.
Good. Highly recommend. Okay, good. You're always looking for vocation. Let's see, you might be the first podcast vocation. I'm going to claim it anyway.
Sure.
Very good. So if you had to sum up this year, so you've been now, as a Dominican since last August, if you had to summarize this year with a word, play a little game here, what would you say? What would that word be, summarizing this year in a word?
Yeah. I think it's very difficult to put the whole year into a word.
Oh, please. That's why it's a game.
But if I put it in the most general sense, almost cheating a little bit, would be new. Just the newness of this life. Of course, you can expect a lot of things, imagine, and prepare yourself. I'm never ready for whatever God's going to give me.
Yeah.
There are so many surprises, so many beautiful things in this life. Yeah, it is.
So what's something you hadn't expected that on the one hand has been challenging and maybe on the one hand has been delightful?
I think
newness.
Really the brothers, mm-hmm. brothers. Mm-hmm. Just kind of the variety of brothers that we have.
You don't have siblings, right?
Is I that don't.
Right? Yeah, so you're an only child, and then you come to the States, and you don't necessarily, you're not, in your college days, you have pick roommates, but it's not like you're just kind of thrown in. Is this the first time you're living with people you haven't intentionally chosen to live with, more or less?
More or less. So,
okay.
So, yeah, in college, we sort of have this intentionality when you choose a roommate. Mm-hmm. I remember senior year, so it was a group of us, Catholic from the Newman Center, decided we should get a house and get all the Catholic friends that we have and so that we can have office.
Yeah, yeah.
Can do prayers and Bible study together. And we knew kind of each other's habits and we already knew each other beforehand when mm-hmm. we were put into this, the same house kind of together. But with this, God is almost an intention by God. It is an intention by God. It's providence that he handpicked each of us together to make us brothers. And he wants to sanctify all of us through each other. And there's that because he wants us all to be saint, and he plays each of us with each other so that we can be either model or scourge to each other.
Okay, very good. Well, because three is a tricky number. Well, there were four of that originally, but now as you're making vows, there's three. Three could be a tough number.
It is.
Is it?
So there's always that. You can feel, so two people talking and then one person is left out.
Yeah. No, it's or, true. Yeah.
It could be like that. But I think we have learned to communicate to each other when something are not right throughout the year, I think.
Nice.
And I really appreciate brothers' courage when they do that.
Yeah.
I tend not to be the one who speak up.
Okay.
I tend to be the one being spoken to.
Okay. Okay. Fair. But you're the dean, right?
I am the dean.
But you were elected dean. I guess it's only two other guys. But I guess they both said you're the one to take charge.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
okay.
So I guess I am. I'm the one.
You are the one. You are the one.
I'm the one chosen.
So that's the year in terms of newness. What do your because not everyone's family situation is different. And you mentioning your parents. How are your parents with this kind of choice that you've made for life? You mentioned how it wasn't until kind of 4 years later that your mom kind of let you know that spending 4 years in Texas, in Laredo, Texas, wasn't exactly on her agenda, but that she was happy for you in that way. What are their thoughts about you joining the Dominican way of life? Do they get it? Where are they at with that as far as you're aware?
I think they're still learning to accept it.
Okay.
Again, they gave me the freedom to make the decision, which I'm very grateful for. I don't think every parents will have that generosity and this type of love for their child.
Even parents that are Christian and Catholic, right?
Yeah.
they're not always, they want, you know, grandchildren or a career or something. It's like, we want priests, even if they're very Catholic, but just not my son. Right, you know, so there's a disconnect. So all the more, I would think, for your parents who don't necessarily have that same sense of corporate or connected identity as Catholics, to be willing to say, generosity.
Yeah, they, my mother especially, I think she has a hard time accepting that. And I think I did not communicate well in advance when I told them. So,
it's a little bit of a surprise factor.
A little bit of a surprise. Okay. It was last year, last summer.
Yeah.
When I was graduating, they came for my graduation, and I told them they applied, and then I've done the interviews, and I'm waiting for the decision.
Okay.
And that was a shock.
Yeah.
Because I told them I am going to do this internship, bioengineering internship, and they were expecting sort of I'm going to use that as a springboard to do bioengineering job.
Yeah.
And they. When I told them that I'm doing this, I'm thinking of becoming a Dominican friar and a priest, they're awfully shocked.
Yeah, I'll bet. Especially if they're expecting something else.
And until now, I think I talk to them every week.
Okay,
and
good.
My father, I think, accepted but much better than my mother. But I think she... It's natural to every mother.
Sure.
That she really wants me to be happy, and then she's not sure. I think this will make me happy.
Okay.
This might be what she's concerned. But I have the confidence that God will take care of everything. And when she sees that I'm happy in this life, and God through grace will show it to her. Everything will be taken care of.
Yeah.
So.
No, and we have that hope. And it's obviously with COVID and all the restrictions, it's not possible for them to come because part of the opportunity, especially around vows, is when family comes, especially non-Catholic or non-Christian families are able to interact. Just the fraternity and that sense of like, the Dominican life or any religious life is not like some kind of like strange cult or like mind control or something like that. It's just like, these are like guys that are like normal and happy and hopefully all on the journey to holiness together. It really can be winsome in that way. So I hope there's the occasion for them to be able to interact with the larger kind of group and be able to see, because that can definitely be like, okay, well, even if I don't quite get it, at least they're have a confidence that you're not under the spell of some kind of strange kind of thing, and that there's happiness that's where God is leading you.
Yeah, I think a lot of her anxiety come from something that she imagined, kind of. Not to say that she imagined things, but that because she does not have this first contact with the life that we're living, only imagine, she can only imagine what type of life that we have.
Yeah.
So, I believe if she sees with her eyes and sees the brethren and get to know them, she'll understand better.
Yeah, exactly. It's always, I have to say, class by class, but you obviously you're not alone in not necessarily having parents that are super enthusiastic or at least are not familiar with it. And I have to say, as parents and other family members connect with the Dominican life and just the brethren most of all, they're like, oh, okay, well, even if I'm not totally on board, I kind of get it, or at least I see it. It's not what I was thinking, kind of worst case scenario or something like that. So this year you mentioned new, so that there's kind of the three of you there and new kinds of things. What would you say to yourself, having know what you know this year, to yourself a year ago? In other words, what have you learned this year that you would say to any future novices coming in, or to yourself even last year?
Let's see.
Let's do the one word again, just because you were so good at it last time.
Let's see. I would say to myself, relax.
Relax?
Yes.
Oh, no. Do you know who Aaron Rodgers is?
Is he a Cal grad?
No, he is.
Okay, yeah, I heard of him.
Okay, that was his. That was his. When the football team he was leading was not doing well, he got up in a press conference and just said, "Relax, we're gonna still win games yeah. and make the playoffs." So there he goes. It's a Cal influence. Relax.
Yeah.
No, just have you found that to be maybe even outside of kind of COVID and all that's gone on this year? Anxiety being a particular challenge for you?
Because I think for me, I like to control everything. And I have this sort of projected in like image of how everything should be.
Yeah.
And that make myself a god.
Yeah, okay.
In a way. Praying is about letting God be God, be still and know that He is God, really. And that's something that I have to learn, that He's good and that He loves, and He has everything in His hands, the noble things and the smallest things, the things that we don't really realize and the things that we ignore, every little things. Things that I'm anxious about, things maybe I can't remember this vocabulary for the Latin class. He has that taken care of as well.
Nice.
Not that he will help me remember, maybe, but that even if I fail in that, he has everything taken care of. I need to accept that. I want to, learn his will and do his will. To me, that's the mysteries that we must learn, that becoming small, becoming little, and let him, seeing Christ, seeing how all the saints really humbling themselves before God. Think about COVID. I think is even this, even with all these sufferings, God still has everything in his divine providence.
Mm.
There's no doubt that God will bring something more beautiful than all the suffering combined. Every suffering will be a part of a greater good. And we must expect that, and we should expect that, and there's nothing for us to doubt that he will. In the end, when all things will be revealed, we'll see how all these sufferings, apparent sufferings, how people lose even the most ridiculous, the things that we can never expect will become something beautiful. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Well said. I think of the gospel when the Lord says, what does worry or anxiety get you? Right. it's kind of thing. It's just like, consider the sparrows, consider those who don't, and they don't sow or reap, but the Lord, gives them voice and flight and all the rest. And that sense of letting go and letting God.
Yeah.
Because God always has bigger dream, bigger plans.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. We expect too little.
Exactly. That's a good point, that we expect too little. Yeah. Sometimes our dreams are not God's dreams, and sometimes that means that the Lord allows for suffering, but he's going to bring something greater out of it. And so this year, whatever suffering that have been there, there's the greater vocation he's called you to. And so we certainly keep you in prayers. Your date for profession is?
I actually don't remember the date.
Oh my goodness.
I know it's the Labor Day weekend, yeah. Saturday of the Labor Day weekend.
September 5th.
Is that
yeah,
it?
Exactly.
Oh, thank you, Father.
as pastor, you got to keep up with dates and all this trivial kinds of things for you. It'll just,
I was
it'll just be
relying on my brothers to tell me to remember.
See, community is both as you say, is the road to sanctification, but also helps now and then. It keeps us on the right track.
True.
So we'll keep you in prayers, and do pray for us, especially as you're only here just a short time here at St. Dominic's. We love having the novitiate here. The parish is certainly enhanced by it. Our Dominican community is anchored by it, and it's been a real pleasure to have you here during this year. And we want all the best. Keep praying for us. We'll keep praying for you that you persevere, and who knows where the Lord will ultimately lead you.
Who knows?
Who knows? Maybe to the vast, as your namesake, Francis Xavier, into the mission fields for the Lord in every way. And so for those of you joining by videocast or by podcast, may you truly radiate the joy of the gospel here in the heart of the city in all you do this week. Amen?
Amen.